Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. It says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." And we're continuing on our study of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and as he's dealing with them and trying to deal with certain problems that he has come to his attention within the church. And this is an interesting passage that we're reading about today, because it's talking about what's going on in the church. And, you know, that's some stuff in there that doesn't sound very pleasant. Bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander and malice and all that good stuff. And you know, as a pastor, I would say, I can't think of anything worse that could be going on in a church. And as a pastor of 41 years, I can say, yeah, that's about average for most of the churches in the world today. Why is that? Because churches are full of people. Amen? Amen. And I've also often told people, if you ever find the perfect church, please don't stay there. Because if they're perfect, you're only going to mess it up. If you think that you have found a perfect church today, that you're wrong. It's full of people, especially the pastor, that is dealing with problems, going through life, just doing the best that we can. But each of us have our shortcomings, each of us have our failures, and we're just dealing with them. Amen? And so Paul, he's making a statement when he says, "Let all bitterness and wrath," the word there means you need to make a decision to do this. You know, so many times as believers, we want to be too heavenly minded to be of any earthly good. And we say, you know, I've got this problem, and I'm just asking that Jesus will take this problem away from me. Paul says, look, you just need to make the decision not to do it anymore. Amen? And that's not to say that God doesn't miraculously deliver. For those of you who haven't heard my testimony, before I became a Christian, I had long hair, had a Harley Davidson motorcycle, was smoking, drinking, doing drugs and everything. As a matter of fact, the little name across my leather jacket was Lucifer, Son of the Morning, which we know is Satan's name. And so I was not exactly the pride and joy of my Marine Corps sergeant's parents. And so when I asked Jesus into my heart, I have to admit that it was probably because there was so much that he had to do in such a short time that he said, this boy is never going to get through this on his own. And so I woke up the next morning and so many of the desires that I had were just gone. Had no desire to smoke, had no desire to do drugs, to drink, to do anything like that. But when we get on with our lives and it's time for us to grow up, then we come to the place where we say, we just need to make the decision to do it. When that alarm clock goes off in the morning, and this morning I had to be over at the church that we have for the Nepalese people, so my alarm clock went off at 6 o'clock so I could leave at 7, get there at 8, preach till 9, get over here around 9:40 and whatever. And believe me, when that alarm clock went off at 6 o'clock, I looked at that alarm clock with, let me see here. Here's one, malice. Okay. A little bit of bitterness and wrath in there. I looked at that alarm clock and decided, you know, I really don't want to do this. And so I did the next best thing. I hit the snooze button, which gives you about 10 minutes, which really, when you think about it, what are you going to do with 10 minutes? All right? That's just enough time to just barely fall back to sleep and then really get angry when it goes off again. And so the Apostle Paul says, you just need to do it. There are some things in our lives that we would like to, like the old 1970s comedian Flip Wilson would say, the devil made me do it. But in fact, we just need to be the grown-ups in Jesus and do what we need to do. And so Paul says, number one, let all bitterness, he says, be put away from you. And we'll go through this one at a time. Let all bitterness be put away from you. And I think that of anything that could happen, the worst that could happen to a Christian is to become bitter. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about that root of bitterness that can spring up, because bitterness will poison. As a matter of fact, the Greek word for bitterness is poison. That's what it means in the Greek. Not to let any bitterness come up. Where does bitterness come from? It comes from blame. It comes from trying to put blame on everybody else and not realizing that God may have a bigger part in your life for you. You see things happen, and instead of saying, okay, God, what are you trying to show me? What am I supposed to do? We decide to get angry at God. That's why the Bible says, be angry, but don't sin. Be angry and sin not. Because if we decide to start blaming God and blaming others instead of accepting responsibility for ourselves, then that root of bitterness grows up within us. And it poisons every part of our body. And so we need to not become bitter. If somebody has said something about you, if somebody has done something that has hurt you physically or emotionally or whatever, believe me, the Word of God says that He forgives us in the same manner that we forgive others. And we'll look at that in Matthew chapter 6 in just a second. We cannot afford to withhold forgiveness. Amen? And so if something has happened in our lives, the safest thing for us to do is to bring forgiveness, to ask forgiveness or to give forgiveness to somebody. Because if we don't and we hold it inside, then that bitterness. And folks, we all know people that are just plumb bitter. It comes out in their face. It comes out in their voice. It comes out in every part of their being, of their existence. And do little children run to them and say, oh, I want to be close to this person who is so bitter? No. Nobody wants to be around them. I look at my grandfather, who was just bitter and mean, my mother's father. And he was 90 some odd years old, and his wife, my grandmother, finally said, old man, I've had enough of you. And at 90 years of age, divorced the rascal. I mean, that's putting up with it for as long as she was going to put up with it. All right? But we don't need to be that way. We don't. Amen. And I can remember so many times as a child when I interacted with him. And yes, I was a little bit inquisitive and did things that normal kids wouldn't think of doing, like painting the fender of his brand new car with that green enamel paint that I found in a paintbrush. But he didn't have to tell my mother to kill me. Okay? And that was his response to everything that happened. He would tell my mother, Shirley, you just need to kill the boy. Yeah, so, you know, that was, and finally, people just had enough and got rid of them. And that's what happens when you allow bitterness. I don't know what he was bitter over. I don't know what happened in the man's life. But he spent his last years, he was over 100 years old when he died, spent his last years literally all alone. And I don't want that for anybody. And so Paul says, get rid of that bitterness. And the wrath and anger. Wrath and anger. People, you've been around people that just anything can set them off. You don't want to be around them because, you know, you just may say something just totally innocent. And all of a sudden, they're blowing up at you. My friend Tony had an IT guy that was working for him. And this IT guy was into bodybuilding. And he wasn't satisfied with what he was able to accomplish in the gym. And so this guy got a hold of some steroids and started injecting himself with steroids. And he just really bulked up. But you know what one of the side effects of steroid use is? It's called roid rage. I mean, you get angry. And this guy would come into work, and the first thing he'd do when he came through the door is he'd stare at everybody. Like, don't give me any grief today. And everybody was saying, don't worry about it, I'm not going to give you any grief today. And it became a terrible situation at work because this guy was just full of rage and full of anger, and you didn't know what might set him off, and they finally, you know, found a way to get rid of him. But that shouldn't be something that Christians do. And Paul says, make the decision to get rid of that. If you have anger, I got news for you, anger is a spiritual problem. Amen? We need to find out where that anger comes from, because it certainly doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. And to deal with it and get it under the blood. And clamor. Clamor, it means rowdy. Now, not rowdy like Sister Joy is rowdy. No, she's rowdy at ball games, okay? All right. She might yell and whatever. But rowdy people are just people that all the time yelling and being obnoxious and on. And Paul says that's not what should typify a Christian. Now, he's not saying that we need to be meek little mice and never utter a sound or whatever, you know. But these people that are constantly destroying, you know, the peace with all of their rowdiness and yelling. And again, you don't know what's going to set them off and they have to go stomping around or whatever. Paul says you need to make a decision to put that off. Oh, but Pastor, it's just, I don't know. But Paul says you need to make that decision. I'm not going to be that person anymore. And yes, go to God in prayer and say, Holy Spirit, I need victory over this thing. But to recognize that this is not how the world lives. He says, let it be put away in slander. Okay, now in the church, let me see here. We don't call it slander in the church. What do we call it in the church? Prayer requests. That's what we do, is prayer requests. Okay? We need to pray for Sister So-and-so because I heard that, you know, she had a gentleman over to an apartment the other night. You know, we just really need to, you know, so gossip is another word for it. But of course, we don't gossip in the church. We just ask for prayer. You know, we just need to be careful about that. The words, remember we learned last week, you know, the words that come out of our mouth are healing words, are words of life. Those are the words that we choose to speak. And lastly, he says, along with all malice. And malice is just being plain evil. And all these are things that if you were to read these attributes to me, I would think that wherever this list comes from, it's talking about people in some, you know, nightclub or some tavern somewhere that are, you know, just full of alcohol and full of the devil and all of that. But Paul is using these words in describing some of the Christians in the church in Ephesus. I guess some of those churches had some problems that maybe we weren't very aware of. And he says, but instead of this, folks, remember we said life and death are in the power of the tongue. You have the choice. I can speak life or I can speak death. We can tell our child, good try, son. Better luck next time. I mean, that was an excellent, you know, great attempt. And, you know, and we'll do better next time. Or you can say, what a loser. So we made the choice, didn't we? We could speak life or we could speak death. Paul in verse 32 says, instead, be kind one to another. Be kind. In the words of, let's see, Ted and what was his name's great adventure? Bob and whatever, great adventure. Their closing comment was, "Be excellent one to another."
Yeah.
And you know, and what does that mean? It means, for instance, when May reached over and picked up that bulletin, that's being kind. Holding the door for someone, getting somebody's coffee and donuts in the morning, just reaching outside of yourself and outside of your own problems, because I can guarantee you everyone here has their own unique little set of problems that they're dealing with. We just choose to put a smile on our face and make believe that, you know, that the rest of the church feel that, you know, we never do have any problems. No, you're not fooling anybody. All of us here know that everybody else is dealing with their own problems. But in spite of that, to reach out to those around you.
Amen.
To put yourself out to those around you. To be kind. It's so funny, because when Terry and I go to India, the culture over there is quite a bit different about how the husbands treat their wives. For instance, in India, a man will never tell his wife, "I love you." You know, and I've talked to him about that. And they say, "Pastor, I prove it every day. I don't have to say it." And I will say something like, "Well, if you try it once, you just might find out that it has a lot of advantages." And so some of them have come over to my house and see me or hear me call, you know, telling Sister Terry I love her. And I look over and I see a wife doing this to her husband, like, "See, that didn't hurt. Why don't you try it on me sometime?" You know. And it's interesting that a lot of the pastors that we work with from the Asian areas, that they tell their wives that they love them. Why? Because they found out from Pastor Dale and Sister Terry, it doesn't hurt. And it just might help a little bit. Okay, be kind. Be kind to each other. And then he goes on to say, be tender-hearted. What does that mean? Sympathetic. To realize that the person sitting next to you just may be going through one of those bad days. And when I come into the house after I've been out and about, and if I don't see Terry out in the living room or in the kitchen or in the dining room, and I see that the bedroom door is closed, that tells me something. Because she doesn't go into her bedroom unless she's in a lot of pain. And so I try to tiptoe around and not make a lot of noise, and maybe open up the door and say, "Is there anything I can get for you," or whatever. Okay, just tender-hearted means to be sensitive to the needs of others. And again, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't cost us much. And it goes such a long way. And then it says, forgiving each other. "Oh, but Pastor, you don't know what he said to me." If you knew what he said to me, you wouldn't ask me to forgive him. Or what she said to me. But as we see in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12, and this is the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is teaching us to pray. And he says, "And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us." And then he goes on to explain that part of the prayer in verse 14. He says, "Because if you forgive people their offenses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." In other words, what Jesus is doing here is he's tying the forgiveness that we seek from the Father, he's tying it directly to our desire to forgive others. Our decision to forgive others. And like it or not, what the Bible says, if you've chosen not to forgive somebody for something that they've done for you, then God chooses not to forgive you.
That's right.
Ooh, but Pastor, I've got to believe that if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Yes, as long as you don't take it upon yourself to withhold forgiveness from somebody else. After all he has forgiven me for, how dare I withhold forgiveness from somebody else? Amen?
Yes.
And so this is not just emotionalism. This is the teachings of Jesus.
Amen.
Because if you forgive people their offenses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. And so going back to verse 32, be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving each other in the same way that God in Christ has also forgiven you. And so the message that comes to us 2,000 years later, through the Word of God by Apostle Paul, is when we feel like we want to be bitter or full of wrath and anger, or clamor, or slander, or malice, or whatever, we make the decision to say, no, I choose to be kind-hearted. I choose to be kind, excuse me, and tender-hearted. I choose to forgive rather than hold a grudge. But Pastor, that just isn't me. But brother or sister, that's what God requires of us as His children.
Amen?
Amen? Amen? And so my prayer today is that we won't grow old and bitter like my maternal grandfather and end up living the last several years of his life all by himself because he was just too mean for anybody to stay around for a very long time. That as we grow and we grow in the Lord, that we become so kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving that people say, that's the kind of person I want to hang around with. That's the kind of person I want to meet down in the game room or get on the sit next to on the bus when we go to Target or to Sam Moon's. That's the kind of person I want to be with because they go out of their way for others and they teach me how to go out of my way for others also. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father.
Morning comes another day. Time doesn't wait. It doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows. Will you choose to stand or fall? Just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the seagulls calm. You lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to the shining.